And welcome back to This Week in Wildcats Football. We are in week six of the Mid-States Football Association 2024 regular season, and the Wildcats continue to roll here after an impressive ranked victory on Saturday. We'll get into all that today, but with that, I'm Gannon Parker, and it is good to be back in the studio. I am glad you are here as well. The Wildcats returned home from Illinois to host the number 13-ranked St. Xavier Cougars in their second of three straight ranked matchups. Indiana Wesleyan, as usual at Wildcat Stadium, handled business, taking the game by a score of 39-7. The defense stood firm by not allowing a single point to be scored against them. Kyle Antoine set a school record with 395 passing yards, reclaiming the record that teammate Arjun Lothe set just two games before. With the win, the Wildcats now move to 5-1 on the season and into number 3 in the latest NAIA rankings. Before we get into that, let's take a look at the scores and standings from across the MSFA after Saturday's action. As I just mentioned, Indiana Wesleyan handled business against St. Xavier by a score of 39-7. St. Francis, Illinois beat Siena Heights 31-24. Taylor dominates St. Francis of Indiana 58-36. Defiance College beat Manchester 35-3. Olivet Nazarene keeps Madonna winless with a score of 42-15, and Concordia beat Judson 45-6. Looking at the standings, we'll start with the Midwest League. Marion is still undefeated at 4-0. They sit atop the Midwest League. Behind them, St. Francis of Illinois at 4-1. Olivet Nazarene, St. Francis of Indiana, and St. Xavier all sit at 3-2. And at the bottom, Judson at 1-4. Moving over to the Mideast League, Indiana Wesleyan and Taylor both sit atop at 5-1. Defiance College is at 2-3 at second place. Concordia 2-4. Lawrence Tech 1-3. Siena Heights 1-5. And at the very bottom, Madonna is 0-6. So the Wildcats knock off the number 13 ranked St. Xavier Cougars in their most recent matchup at home. Quick scoring summary: Ryan Whitwell had a 2-yard touchdown run early in the first. Josh Clifton then had a 33-yard field goal. Roosevelt Cage, back in the lineup, scored a 29-yard touchdown run. For St. Xavier, their only points of the day came on a defensive touchdown, which was recovered by Kevin Countryman. That was a fumble by Ryan Whitwell on his own one. We'll talk about that later. Just before half, Josh Clifton hit a 26-yard field goal. In the third, Ryan Whitwell caught a 15-yard touchdown pass from Kyle Antoine, and he wasn't done yet. Whitwell then had a 41-yard touchdown reception over the middle. For the Wildcats defense, they got involved. They got a safety late in the fourth, and then Josh Clifton hit a 22-yard field goal with 3:06 left to go in the fourth quarter, making your score 39-7. Some stats from that game: the Cougars 10 first downs in total. The Wildcats had 28, 5 on the ground, 22 through the air, 1 aided by penalty. For the Cougars, 4 on the ground, 3 through the air, and 3 were given by penalty. For rushing, the Wildcats only had 95 as opposed to the Cougars' 21 yards. For passing, 440 total yards in the air for the Wildcats, just 74 for the Cougars. So the Wildcats in total on offense, 535 yards. The Cougars don't even reach the century mark with just 95 total yards on offense. Some individual stats starting with the Cougars passing. Stuart Ross, 13 of 18 for just 71 yards and an interception. Kyle Antoine, 31 of 45, 395 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked just once. For the Cougars, I forgot to mention, Stuart Ross was sacked a total of 7 times. Mario Price was the leading rusher for the Cougars. On 10 attempts, he gained 31 yards, no touchdowns for the Wildcats. Ryan Whitwell, 19 attempts for 62 yards and a score. Roosevelt Cage, 8 attempts for 36 and a touchdown as well. Receiving, the Wildcats did a nice job spreading the ball around. Isaac Smith, 10 receptions for 114 yards. Levi Tidwell, 4 catches for 76. Ryan Whitwell, 4 catches, 76 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Caden Curry, 6 receptions for 74 yards. On the Cougar side, Kyle Quinn, 5 receptions for 21 yards. Ronnie Foster, 1 reception for 17. Julian Smith, 1 catch for 11 yards. And Joe Pulselli, 2 catches for 10 yards. Moving over to the defensive side of the ball, for the Wildcats. Luke Bays led the way with total tackles in 7, 4 assisted, 3 solo. Drake Deshetsky, 6 total tackles, 5 assisted, 1 solo. Neil Campbell, 5 total tackles, 2 assisted, 3 solo. Clayton Mosier, 4 total, 3 assisted, 1 solo. And Anthony Cheeseborough, 2 total tackles, both assisted, and a fumble recovery in the first quarter. Through 6 games, the Wildcats are averaging just over 45 points while only allowing 7 points. In total, they have scored 274 to just allowing 44. In rushing, they have gained 1,077 yards on the ground while only allowing 587. For passing, 1,892 yards while only giving up 897. So those were your main game stats from the weekend, as well as the cumulative stats for the entire season. So overall, I thought the Wildcats played a very solid game the whole way through. I want to start with the defense. Maybe looking at the score and thinking, well, how can they have pitched a shutout if 7 points were scored? Well, that actually goes to special teams, which is an area of concern, which we'll talk about a little later. So the Wildcats defense actually scored 2 points. They got a safety in the second half, but overall, I mean, they just looked dominant. St. Xavier came into the game ranked number 13, and one of the things that I talked about last week was getting after Stuart Ross, making him uncomfortable, and shutting down the running game, and they did just that. They only gained 21 yards in total on the ground, forcing Stuart Ross to have to pass the ball. He was sacked 7 times, so credit to those front four and really just the 7 in the box that the Wildcats continue to run with. They just looked absolutely phenomenal. Guys were flying all over the place, making tackles, making plays, and they just looked phenomenal. The secondary did a nice job against those Cougar receivers. I mean, what can you say as a defensive coach to not give up a single point the entire game against the number 13 ranked team in the NAIA? That is a testament to Coach Rohde and that whole defensive coaching staff. And it's really just been, you know, kind of the same game plan each and every week. Get after the quarterback and make him throw the ball and make poor decisions. We've seen that with a number of MSFA opponents. Didn't really get to see that against Valpo. That is a much tougher and more disciplined ball club than the Wildcats usually play in the Mid-States Football Association and across the NAIA. And this was another crucial game for the Wildcats. If nothing else, it was crucial for seeding. I talked about it before. Last year, the Wildcats were in the top 4 for just about the entire season, and then they lost to Concordia in the season finale, which put them at number 6, which hurt their seeding. So they lost a home playoff game. Essentially, they could have taken it all the way to the Final 4 before they would have had to go on the road. But the Wildcats are sitting good right now. They're ranked number 3 in the latest polls, assuming nothing bad, assuming they can continue to win games and win them in the ways that they have. I suspect that they will stay at the number 3. They might even be able to move up to number 2 or to number 1. As for the offense, Kyle Antoine looked like he was in prime physical condition. He sat out against Olivet Nazarene a couple weeks ago. He came back to play against the Fighting Saints of St. Francis, Illinois. He looked solid in that game. This was a game where he really just looked comfortable, and he knew exactly where he was supposed to go with the ball. He was hitting his first read. If it wasn't there, he was for sure hitting that second read. I mean, when you throw for a school record in passing yards after that record has already been broken earlier this year by your backup, that might be a little bit of extra motivation, but Antoine looked phenomenal. And if we can take away anything else from this game on the offensive side of the ball, it's that the Wildcats probably have the most depth out of any team in the NAIA at the receiver position. Isaac Smith has really come into his own. He was really a security blanket for Antoine throughout this game. Levi Tidwell, the veteran grad student, he's been there forever, and guys really look up to him. He's able to contribute in a huge way on the offensive side. He went out of the game in the second quarter with a knee injury. He came back in. He didn't look like he was completely at 100%, but just seeing him around, he seems to be doing a lot better, so good news on that. Then you throw in Caden Curry, Miles Cox. I mean, these are tough receivers to guard, and they have a lot of height too, so jump balls are easily winnable for these Wildcat receivers, especially working against DBs who usually clock in about 5'10", 5'11". You might get ones that are maybe 6 foot, maybe even 6'1", but the Wildcats definitely have the advantage on the outside with their receiving core. On the ground, great to see Roosevelt Cage back there. I was ecstatic when I saw him check into the game. Whitwell, I mean, he had three touchdowns. I would give him the game ball if I was a coach and, you know, had the power to do so. He just looked phenomenal. There's a reason why he is the starting running back of the Wildcats. So I don't want to discredit him or downplay the way he performed, because he showed that not only can he do it on the ground, he can be an effective receiver as well. You know, DBs have to focus on the four receivers. Seems like they kind of forgot about Whitwell. One of them just got thrown into the corner, bounced around, and Whitwell was the man to come down with it. Maybe a little bit of luck, but I don't really want to make that claim. But as I was saying, for Roosevelt Cage to be back in the lineup, it was good to see him healthy, ready to go. He had no fear, just, you know, putting his body on the line, ready to go. Scored a touchdown on a 29-yard run. He went inside, wasn't there, decided to bounce it outside, and it was just nothing but green grass in front of him all the way to the end zone. Just a stellar performance by the Wildcats all around. However, there are areas of concerns for the Wildcats that really seem to be on full display as well on Saturday's game against the Cougars, starting with special teams. And we'll get to a positive for special teams a little later, but I do want to start here with the negatives or just some of the concerns. On kickoffs, the Cougars got great field position on just about every kickoff in the first half, and we saw a little bit in the second half as well, because the Wildcats ended up kicking off quite a bit in this game. But Clifton was leaving his kicks well short of the goal line. He was getting it to about the 15, maybe even the 10 on a couple kicks. He wasn't really even kicking into the wind either. I think he had the wind helping him for a good portion of the game. But they were left way short, and the Cougars' return men were able to take great advantage. So the Cougars, I think every drive of the first half where the Wildcats kicked to them, the worst starting field position they got was about the 30, 32, somewhere in there. And well beyond that, they had drives that started in the 40s. Now, the Wildcats' defense made sure that nothing bad happened. They could have probably started at the Wildcats' 40, and I don't think the defense would have given up any points or any extra yards. I mean, for crying out loud, the Cougars didn't get a first down until the final play of the first quarter. And that's because they called a timeout, which was really strange how they handled that, but I digress there. Overall, the special teams did not look great for when they were the kicking team. Also, when they were the receiving team, there were a lot of decisions made by some of the players out there that I didn't quite understand. One of them is during punts, when the Cougars had to punt the ball, they did it several times throughout the game, where Miles Cox would line up at about, you know, the 20, the 25, and the punt would go way over his head, and he would wait for it to bounce. He'd have to go back and get it, pick it up, and he lost all of his momentum, all of his speed, couldn't get a good running start, and so the Wildcats would be backed up. On one of the punts, it looked like it bounced at about the 15, hit the 10, started rolling at about the 5, and Miles Cox decided to walk, you know, jog back there and try and pick it up and do something with it, but he picked it up at the 1-yard line. From the angle in the press box and several of us who were up in there, we all were, you know, asking ourselves, what's going on? Like, why would he pick it up? It was probably going to roll into the end zone. It could have been different down there on the field, but he was, if nothing else, just really lethargic going to get it. He didn't even see that there was a gunner behind him waiting to tackle him, which forced the Wildcats to start the drive at their 1-yard line. And on the next play, Ryan Whitwell got the ball knocked out, and the Cougars recovered for a touchdown. That was the only points that the Cougars were able to score. And I never would have saw that coming, that the only points scored were on a defensive touchdown. That allowed the Cougars to get back in the game, but the Wildcats were able to regroup and refocus and get their stuff together. And the second half, special teams looked a lot better, but it just, there was no reason for it. And against a good team, those kinds of mistakes are probably going to have a much larger effect on the outcome of the game. Another area of concern, penalties. The Wildcats are averaging just under giving up 80 yards of field position per game, while they're only gaining about 49 to 50 yards. In total, the Wildcats have committed 42 penalties over 6 games, so that averages out to 7, while their opponents, in total through 6 games, have committed just 33 combined penalties. That is just over 5 a game. It's about 5.6 penalties per game. That is not a battle that you want to win, and some of them are just silly mistakes. Now, I will I will admit there was one penalty that was given to the Wildcats sideline, actually, on a punt return. Miles Cox actually had a good punt return, and there was a flag thrown for unsportsmanlike conduct, I believe is what the official ruled it as. It was a 15-yard penalty, and it gave the Cougars the ball back, so they got a first down, but nobody could figure it out. And it was one of the few times that I've seen head coach Andrew Rohde really be demonstrative towards an official, because he just had no clue. Everybody was looking around, and the referee never gave an explanation or a reason as to why the flag was thrown. Not that he has to during penalties, but I just found it odd. He just said unsportsmanlike conduct on Wesleyan's bench. Nobody in the press box could figure it out. Fans that were in attendance, it was a lighter attendance because of fall break. Students weren't there. I mean, the Boo Birds were out in full force at Wildcat Stadium. Nobody could figure it out. So aside from that one, really, they're just killer penalties. I mean, we saw some offsides penalties earlier in the season. There was one. Isaac Smith had a nice block on the outside. It was late in the third quarter. Pancaked his receiver. It was Kevin Countryman. Those two had been going at it all game. Countryman actually had a good game. He scored the only touchdown for the Cougars. But after Smith put him on the ground, he pointed at him and said something to him and got in his face, which picked up a 15-yard taunting penalty. Smith went to the bench. And to no surprise, that was the last time we saw Smith in the game, mainly because the Wildcats had already put it away and they were starting to bring their second unit guys in anyway. But I think Rohde just said, all right, that's enough. We'll just have him sit down and that'll be it for Smith today. But just penalties like that, they have just been atrocious all year. They've committed more penalties than their opponents in every game. Down the stretch against really good teams, when you get into the playoffs, that's just not going to fly. So it's important that the Wildcats fix those mistakes now rather than carry them going into the postseason against much better and more disciplined teams. So I promised that there was a more positive side to the special teams area of concern, and there is. After last week's game, kicker Josh Clifton was named as the MSFA Mideast Special Teams Player of the Week. He went 3-for-4 on field goals and 4-for-4 on PATs. This is the second or third time, I believe, that he has gotten this honor. This season, Clifton, just the second-year kicker for the Wildcats. He had a tough job having to replace Ethan Collins, but Coach Rohde did a nice job plugging in Clifton, and it really just has been a perfect marriage. So congrats to Josh Clifton on getting that award again. So that was your weekly game recap. Let's move ahead to this coming week's game. The Wildcats travel to Indianapolis to take on the number 10-ranked Marion Knights in a Crossroads League rivalry matchup between two familiar foes. The Wildcats have bested the Knights in the previous three matchups between these two teams as they lead the all-time series 3-2. The Knights remain undefeated as they are coming off an overtime thriller against the Taylor Trojans, where they emerge victorious by a score of 35-34. So the Knights, they're 4-0. Their wins coming against Siena Heights, Concordia, Lawrence Tech, and then, of course, Taylor. They've scored double-digit points in each game, their lowest coming against Lawrence Tech by scoring 24, and their highest coming just a week later, which was this past Saturday's game against Taylor, 35-34. Once again, that game went into overtime. So as a fan and as a broadcaster for Wildcat football, Marion Week is always one of my favorite weeks leading up to it and just the game itself. I've been here for just over 3 years. I've seen the Wildcats emerge victorious all three times, which is just a joy to see. But this is always a fun week, just overall. The Knights are a team that come into the season with high hopes every year. They got a good, solid ball club down in Indianapolis, always competing, always ranked. And these games are always exciting, no matter which team you're rooting for. You can't help but just be in awe of the amazing football that we've seen in the past three meetings, or really all five meetings. The Knights took the first two, and then the Wildcats now have the previous three. But this is going to be a challenge for the Wildcats. This is the highest-ranked team that they have played all year, and it is the final ranked opponent that is on their schedule thus far. It's somewhat shocking. Taylor is not ranked. They sit at 5-1, which has just been the best record that they have had in some time. And I think the Wildcats might be checking their rearview mirrors for that Mideast League title. Don't want to make any bold claims just yet, but the Trojans have looked good as Marion's coming off a 35-34 victory against them. But this is just an exciting matchup, and all the players love it. I was talking to Drake Deshetsky earlier today. I mean, he's excited. He loves playing Marion. It's a huge challenge for the Wildcats to look forward to this rivalry matchup. Even though they're not in the same league as the Wildcats are in the Mideast, Marion is in the Midwest. It still is a rivalry game because those two teams always bring their A game in those games, and it's just a fun game to watch. Some stats here for the Knights. They're averaging 31 points per game while allowing 24 in total. Through four games, they've scored 124 points while allowing 97. For rushing, they have rushed for 688 yards on the ground, but they have allowed 1,125. And passing, they have thrown for 949, but only allowed 744. I think looking at those stats, the keys to the game, at least on the offensive side of the ball, should be pretty simple. We're going to get a heavy dose, I think, of Ryan Whitwell and Roosevelt Cage. The Knights have just seemed to be terrible on the defensive side of the ball, stopping the run, only rushing for under 700 yards while giving up over 1,100 yards. Just through four games alone should tell you just about everything you need to know. For those of you who are good at math or who aren't good at math but want to know the number, they're averaging giving up 281 yards per game. 281 yards a game on the ground. Now, granted, they're averaging 172 on their offensive side, but giving up 281 yards on the ground, if you say you've given up 281 yards, you say, oh, so they're a pass-heavy team. No, they ran the ball a lot. So that could be some cause for concern from the Knights, and I expect the Wildcats to take full advantage of that on Saturday. In terms of the Wildcats' passing attack, there's really nothing to change. The receivers are playing lights out right now. Kyle Antoine has just looked magnificent this season. There's really no need to change what you're doing. Keep taking your checkdowns if they're there. The deep ball is probably going to be open, as it has been against plenty of the other MSFA opponents so far this season. And just go get it. I mean, you got tall receivers who can get up there and make a play. They got good hands. They got great athleticism. There's not a team in the Mid-States Football Association. I don't want to say NAIA, but I don't think there's a team in the Mid-States Football Association that has enough depth at the corner and safety positions that they can confidently say, we can stop the Wildcats starting receivers. Man-to-man, we got them. I have not seen anything from any team so far this year that can make me say otherwise. And you could say I'm a homer, you could say I'm biased, that's fine. But the stats will tell you another thing. They just carved up the number 13 ranked team in the NAIA. That's not conjecture, that's a fact. As for the defense, one of the things that I've noticed with this Marion team, and I've talked with several defensive players, this is a team that likes to go 50-50. They like to mix in the run and the pass evenly. Most teams do 60-40, 70-30, whatever number you want to throw out there, but it's a little unbalanced. As for the Knights, they really just like to go 50-50 with everything and keep you guessing. They're led by Keegan LaBelle, the junior. He had a solid season last year. This season, he's averaging 122 yards on the ground per game. He's got 491 total yards. He's got four touchdowns. Tristan Polk, actually, the quarterback, has more rushing touchdowns. He's got five, but only 99 yards on the ground. Through the air, he's averaging 229 yards a game. He's completing just 54% of his passes. He's thrown for four touchdowns all season and 919 yards. As for receiving, Jake Ricard, their leading receiver, he's averaging over 107 yards per game. He's got two touchdowns and 430 total yards through the air. T-Ray Spence, 179 yards. He's averaging 14 to 15 yards per catch. He's got two touchdowns, and per game he's averaging just under 60 yards per game. So the stats for the Knights are not terribly stellar. They're 4-0. They're ranked number 10, rightfully so if you're undefeated, especially in when you got a conference like the MSFA. Probably should be ranked. I don't know if 10 seems a little generous, a little high if you ask me, but their stats are nothing stellar. But they're winning ball games, and you can't argue with success. Wins are the most important thing, and the Knights have done just that this season. But I think this is going to be a closer game than many people may think or hope for. Do I think the Wildcats are going to win? Yes. Again, call me biased. Call me a homer. Call me whatever. But I think the Wildcats are going to come away victorious. Aside from Valparaiso, their offense is just killing teams. They are dominating defenses. No matter who they line up, no matter who they throw out there, the Wildcats are just destroying and picking apart defenses. They got great receivers, solid rushing attack, and a confident sophomore quarterback. But once again, with all of that being said, I think this is going to be a closer game than we would expect. I still think the Wildcats are going to come away victorious. I got 27-14 is the final score. The Wildcats move to 6-1 on the season. Marion picks up their first loss, but it should be a good one. Bit of an empty week here in the MSFA. Only 3 total games will be played. Lawrence Tech travels to St. Francis, Indiana. Defiance College will play at St. Xavier. And, of course, Indiana Wesleyan will travel to Marion, as a lot of the teams are getting their bye weeks this Saturday. Week 0 kind of threw things off because there were some teams that played, some teams that didn't. I think the Wildcats might be one of the only teams that played in Week 0 that are still playing this week. They do not have a bye week for another 2 weeks. They will not play on October 26th, but next week they play Taylor. Kickoff between the Wildcats and the Knights is at 1:05 p.m. That's all for this week in Wildcats football. We'll